glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. On the audio console is my colleague and audio engineer, Brother Ganesh. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, India. It is 9:40 a.m. on Thursday morning, May the 30th, 2013, and you are tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream. Here is the weather report from the Valley of Sri Satya Sai. Our weather has definitely improved here in Prashanti Nilayam, and we are so happy to bid goodbye to the soaring temperatures that we endured from April through mid-May. Thankfully, we have had a few pre-monsoon showers and the minimum and maximum temperatures have dropped to the 25 to 36 degrees Celsius range. It is way more comfortable now than it was a month ago. The current temperature outside the Radio Sai studios right now is 26 degrees Celsius. General outlook for the day. Overcast skies with the possibility of a good rainfall later in the day. Let's hope it happens soon. Here's what's making news in the Divine Valley right now. Morning prayers have concluded in the Sai Kulwant Hall. Thousands of devotees are making a beeline to the sacred Mahasamadhi to seek blessings. And among them are the students who have made it to the Satya Sai schools and colleges for the new academic year starting June the 1st. Most of the students are expected to report to their hostels over the next couple of days in order to give themselves enough time to settle in. So as you can imagine, the back-to-school buzz in the ashram is hard to miss. You can see students all over the shopping complex finishing last-minute shopping for stationery and uniforms and running shoes and towels. And their parents also here. They are happy to have their ward join the Sai schools and university, but with a tinge of separation anxiety, which is quite natural. Throughout his life, our beloved Satya Sai Baba always maintained that his students are his only property. Today, that truth is resonating louder and clearer than ever before in this township. While one generation of students is all set to start the summer semester, another generation is busy preparing to welcome these students. Now, that is because a vast majority of Baba's staff in his various day schools, residential schools, university, with his four campuses in Prashanti Nilayam, Brindavan, Mudanhalli, Anandpur, is all led by his very own alumni who are working in various capacities as Baba's school teachers, university lecturers, professors and administrators. Come to think of it, who in the history of humanity has ever evoked such love, such implicit obedience and intense commitment from such large numbers of people consistently over the decades? Of course, we can't deny the fact that history has thrown up heroes from time to time who have inspired their generation. But only Bhagwan has inspired millions in every country, in every culture, in every continent to live purpose-driven lives through a balance of the heart, the head and the hand. And here in Prashanti Nilayam, this has become an intergenerational experience. And that commitment has only become stronger after the Mahasamadhi, and very importantly, it is poised to stand the test of time and endure for generations to come. The net outcome is hard to miss. Be it excellence in academics, sports, culture, Sai students stand out and shine in all areas. The consistently phenomenal grade 12 CBSE results have placed Baba's higher secondary school here in Prashanti among the top in whole of South India. And this morning, dear listeners, I'm delighted to share with you some of the highlights of the very recent grade 10 and 12 results of our school from the Central Board of Secondary Education, which is an all India-wide regulatory body that conducts these exams. Now, grade 12, as always, all the students have passed with first division, which is the top grade. Out of 118, 112 were awarded distinction. These are honor students. Out of 118, 112 are honor students. That's just incredible. One out of every two students has secured 90% or above marks. and two students, I must mention their names, Mr. E. Sai Vivek and Miss N. Sai Harini, both have topped with 97% marks in their overall average. The highest in all the subjects is 99%. One student has secured 100 out of 100 in economics, another 99 in Hindi, and five students have secured 99% in computer sciences. Now, those were grade 12 results. And these are children who will make it to university after this. Now, grade 10 results from the same CBSE board, the Central Board of Secondary Education, out of 89 students, 21 have achieved a cumulative grade point average of 10 upon 10. How cool is that? 57 have passed with the CGPA, the cumulative grade point average of 9 out of 10. In Sanskrit, 41 students got a CGPA of 10 upon 10. I guess all the way the chanting that we do here really comes in handy. Similarly, in English, it is 36. In social sciences is 43 and mathematics 27 who have secured a 10 upon 10. How do they do it year after year? I often wonder. These incredible results are truly due to Baba's grace and, very importantly, the hard work and commitment of his teachers who work with every child to help him or her achieve their personal best. Speaking of educators and their contributions, today on Morning Glory, I will bring you an interview with the central school teacher from Hyderabad, Mrs. S.P. Vijay Rajeshwari. We recorded this conversation yesterday afternoon as she was traveling today. Following my conversation with Mrs. Vijay Rajeshwari, I have a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories lined up for you. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Balram Chandran. I am confident you're going to love this three-part conversation that will be aired right here on Morning Glory over three Thursdays starting today. But first, the interview we recorded just last night with Mrs. S.P. Vijaya Rajeshwari, a teacher from Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh. She teaches English to students from grades 6 to 10. Mrs. Vijaya Rajeshwari holds a master's degree in English from the Andhra University and a bachelor's in education from the Nagarjuna University. She is the proud mother of two Sai students, one of whom is a faculty member at the Satisai University. Over now to this special conversation with Mrs. Vijaya Rajeshwari. Sairam, Mrs. Vijay Rajeshwari, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam,
would you like to tell us how your journey to Baba began way back in 1963, I understand?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to share my experience with you. I was hardly 8 years old at that time, and my father was a judicial magistrate working at Varavakonda. He heard about Swami, and we wanted to visit him. We all came, but at the Kottacherbu area, they stopped us. They said Chitravati was in floods and you can't go further. And if you are interested, you can go by a bullock cart. Leave your car here.
Mm-hmm.
So my father was perplexed, like where to leave the car. And with five children in the floods, he didn't want to take any risk, ma'am. We were all little ones. So we went back, thoroughly disappointed. And my father always used to crib. I wanted to see him, he didn't allow me. I wanted to meet him, he didn't allow me. I didn't understand the importance of that. I just used to feel like, who is he? Why is my father disturbed so much? That's all, madam. That was how I was introduced to Swami's name or his place of living, like Puttaparthi and all. And then I forgot. That was the first incident in my life.
In 1963?
Around 63, 64, ma'am.
Okay, and then when did it revive the connection?
Like, again in 68, around 68, 69, I was studying in Rajahmundry, madam. 8th or 9th class, I hardly remember, so. And my father was posted there. And one of her casual visits, my mom took me to her friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a casual visit. And then beside that house, my friend used to live. And I went to my friend's house and my mom went to her friend's house. And my friend and myself, both of us went onto the terrace to pluck some unripe mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
We sat on the parapet wall and we were eating and enjoying the talk. Then there, by the side of that house, is another house.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, a person came onto that terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Like orange robes, black, thick black hair, very bright face, and was wiping his mouth with a white hanky. What attracted me the most was the color combination, like
mm-hmm.
orange, white, bright skin, and black hair.
So striking.
So striking, I said, and I never had seen before the way people got dressed up like that. And I asked my friend, who is this gentleman? How strangely he is dressed. And my friend was also of my age, 8th or 9th class. She said, some saint came to their house. Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Hmm.
Okay, we went down.
That's the saint how must have looked very young at that time.
Very young, ma'am. And very bright face. Mm-hmm. I just remember the face.
Face.
And he was just wiping his mouth and looking all around.
I see.
From the terrace, and he was all alone there.
Oh.
No one came along with him.
Hmm.
Then we went down. After going down, I wanted to meet my mother. I went to their house. I was told that my mother was taken to visit Baba.
Hmm.
I waited there. Nobody asked me to go there. And my mother came after half an hour, and she narrated her experience. Like when she was taken there, the owner of the house welcomed my mother and said, you please just stay here aside. I'll try to take you to Swami. Please wait here. So they went into Swami's room, it seems. My mother was waiting there. And surprisingly, from the other door, Swami came into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there my mother was all alone.
Mm.
And Swami looked at her for quite some time, it seems, into her eyes, straight. And my mother was also totally confused. Why is this man looking into my eyes like this? Who is he? Is he the person I have come to meet or somebody else? She was totally in confusion. She didn't know what to talk. And Baba looked at her for quite some time. Then he went away. Then that lady came who wanted to introduce Baba to my mother. She said, come, I'll take you to Swami. Then my mother said, somebody has just now come. This is the way he was dressed up. Is it the same person? Yes, of course. Have you seen him already? Oh my God. And Swami looked into your eyes? You're so lucky. Then there's no need of taking you there anymore, she said. Then my mother came back. Then she narrated that experience to my father. That day my father didn't come because my mother wanted to visit her friend.
Hmm.
And she said, I went to that house and somebody came. He was dressed in this manner. And he looked at me for quite some time. I don't know, I felt strange. I didn't know how to react. I don't know what was happening to me. I couldn't open my mouth. Something and all she described. I heard that and I told my mother. I saw the same person on the terrace of that house, Mom. She said, okay, that's all. We kept quiet because we were not into Swami's track at that time. We used to follow being South Indian Brahmins only, Venkateshwara Swami. We used to follow. So who Swami was and what his mission was and all was quite strange to us. So this happened in the year around 68, 69.
My God, and after that, when did you start getting to know Swami personally and interacting with him?
Ma'am, after marriage.
Oh, I see.
One day my mother-in-law and husband, they started talking about Swami. And my husband said, we don't believe Satya Sai. Once I challenged Satya Sai, I said, how did you challenge? Satya Sai, you challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, I said, there is an alarm timepiece on the Godrej Almira. I said, without anybody moving that Almira, if that alarm timepiece falls down on its own, then I'll believe him.
Okay.
And it seems within 5 minutes it fell on its own.
Oh, I see.
My husband was wonderstruck. Then it seems after some time people started seeing Swami's image in the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mother-in-law saw that image, it seems. Then they related both the incidents and they started, they used to talk a little about him, not much.
But they didn't believe in him?
Not much, ma'am, because we are Shaivites.
Uh-huh.
We belong to Pandita Radhila family, staunch, very orthodox Shaivites. They used to follow the Shiva cult. Then I was pregnant. The doctors told me that you should not move because of the amniotic fluid more. You're not supposed to move around, you have to take leave, you have to take rest. And you have to lie straight and all. Then I was at my mother's place. and I used to get bored. I asked people, do you have any book to read? They gave me Tapovanam.
Oh.
I didn't know what Tapovanam was. I didn't know what Swami's mission was. But
Tapovanam was published at that time?
I don't know, madam. Some Swami's book. I don't remember the title.
Yeah.
It was given to me. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed reading that book. Chitravati's Swami taking out the sweets and Swami plucking the fruit of boy's choice. And Swami walking to Bukkapatnam school and all. I was into the book.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only pastime for me and read it thoroughly. So in my fifth month, I had a dream. In that dream, in our house on the terrace, I was drying clothes on the cloth line. The next on the terrace, Swami was sitting in a big, beautiful chair. Many people were standing in front of Swami in a queue. Some were offering garlands, some were offering bouquets, and everything was going on. Then I saw Swami. I said, "Oh, this is Satya Sai. We are talking about him. I know now I can recognize him. And when so many people are welcoming him, why shouldn't I? I'm just on the next building." I said, "I'll get down." I stopped drying the clothes. I started getting down the staircase. Then from there, Swami said, "No, no, you don't come. I want to come to your house." I stopped and I told Swami, "Oh no, Swami, you're such a great personality and I am just an ordinary woman. I don't have the strength and ability to take proper care of you if you come to my house. I don't even know how to treat you. So Swami, don't come." Then Swami said, "When I have decided to come to your house, who the hell are you to stop me?" And he called me Murkurala in Telugu.
Means?
Idiot.
Okay.
Nanna apadaniki nuvvevre Murkurala, he said. Then when I got down the staircase, he was already, like he had opened the gate of my house, he had already walked in. I just stood by one side, and Swami came into my house. Then he sat on the windowsill of our front room. He touched all the walls and windows and bars, something he blessed maybe. Then the dream was over. I told my mother-in-law. Then she said, "Maybe you'll be get a son." But I got my daughter, madam. And we were happy. Any child is a child, precious gem of God. And we were so happy. Then during these days, you know, ma'am, my son used to be very, very good at studies and all the teachers used to praise him a lot. And we were not so rich, just a mediocre family. Then I said, "What's happening? I'm not so rich and teachers say that my son is a very good child." I wrote a letter, blind faith, madam, nothing else. Simply, I took an inland letter, blue color inland letter. I wrote a letter. So many problems I narrated, but in that one sentence I wrote about my son, like, "You have dropped a diamond into my parlor. I don't have gold to fit the diamond and wear it. Can you do it for me, Swami? I want to admit him. I don't know. People say that you are running a school. Can you admit him?" That's all. And later on, I didn't bother about it, whether the letter reached Swami, whether he read it or not. Nothing I knew. I was transferred to Guntur and then I came. We were in the quarters. I started living. Then my daughter was born as a sick child, madam. This is the most important experience of my life. Right from the day began, she was sick. She used to suffer from loose motions.
Mm-hmm.
365 days, there was no single day where I didn't take her to the hospital. I used to come from school some 33-40 kilometers away. I used to travel a lot. My mother-in-law and the remaining family members, they used to take care of my child. But still, after coming home, I had to take her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the condition. Once it went to the extent of, you know, like she was almost on the verge of leaving her life. Then my mother scolded me. We took her to another pediatrician. Then at that age itself, I showed her Patrika horoscope, they say, no?
Mm-hmm.
To some man. Then he said, "This child must be shown to a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
He should bless her with another life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much needed. You have to take her to somebody, request that person to bless her."
Mm-hmm. Like a spiritual personality.
Somebody, he said, somebody. They too didn't know. Then it was in my mind, lingering in my mind, and when her first birthday came, you wouldn't believe how foolish we both were, my husband and myself. We didn't want to celebrate her birthday. I just know the thought came, just came, maybe the thought was put by Swami. I said, I'll take her to Puttaparthi for her first birthday.
Mm-hmm.
My husband also said, yes, let us take. And suddenly we booked our bus tickets, to and fro we booked at a time. Not knowing what is Swami, not knowing what is Puttaparthi, not knowing the crowd of Vijayadashami festival at that time, we just like you go to any other place, we just came.
And which year would that be?
92 October, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
92 October. And after coming here, you should see the people, the crowd, every place, every hotel, it was full and full and full. We requested so many people to allow us to sleep in their house. We went about so many rooms and hotels, everybody said, no, sorry. Then right opposite to the gate, main gate, seeing our plight, one fellow said, see, below that staircase, there is, I can put a like bed for you, 60 rupees per night or per day, and that bathroom you can use. This is all I can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are interested, you take it. I said, we have not come for comforts. I have come for blessing. So let's not bother about our comforts. I'll accept it. We have taken, ma'am. Then because of the return ticket already booked, we could get only 5 darshans. I don't know, the system was not like this. We sat somewhere far away from Kulwanthal around 3:30 in the morning, and we were given a token. Then from there all of us ran to some other place. There we were seated again. Then again we were taken to some place. Like that, at 3 spots we were all arranged, and with great difficulty I got 19th row one day, 23rd row, 40th row, 33 row, like that. The last darshan is Maharnavami, her birthday darshan. She is born on Maharnavami day. Then my husband got angry, means with peel, anguish. He said, no, no, Swami is not for poor people like us. He is for very rich people. He is not going to see us. What is this 5th line, 10th line, 23rd line? I'm not going to come. If you are interested, you go.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come. Then at 2:30 early in the morning, I woke my daughter up. With that cold water I gave, 1 year baby, I gave her a bath. I put on a frock and all, because they never allowed children to weep or to disturb mm-hmm. Swami's darshan time. Then not to disturb her, I put some cakes, biscuits, milk, some clothes, everything I kept in a bag, and I came, madam. 3:30 I was here. Again the same thing went around. Again I got some 40th line. And I started crying. I didn't know what to do. You wouldn't believe. I went to each and every person who wore a blue scarf, showed my baby and requested, I don't want to come in. I want my baby to be blessed by Swami, because he appeared in my dream. He said, I am coming to your house. With that faith I came. Please take her. Just ask Swami to bless my daughter and bring her back. I'll stand here. I went around Kulwanthal, some 10 or 20 pradakshinas I did, begging all these people. Some gentleman saw my plight and said, some Mr. Narayan Rao is Swami's PM, huh? Why don't you meet and ask him? I said, where is he? Near that book trust, he showed me a place. I went there. It was closed. It was around 10:30 in the morning.
Was it Sri Kutumb Rao?
I don't remember.
Perhaps,
madam, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So way back,
10:30,
it was closed. And somebody said he'll come at around 12. I said, I am not going to leave this chance. My daughter must be blessed by Swami. That is the mission of my life. So let me sit here. And while I was sitting there, I just looked around and I saw one slip there, stuck to his office. Don't ask for first line chits. Then I took it the other way. It means people are asking. So let me also ask, what's wrong in it? Then he came and I asked. He said, what is this, Ma? We don't have any lines for sick people like that. We don't have any lines for birthday people. How can I help you? I don't know. And madam, I just broke down. And seeing my plight, he said, okay, you go to Ladies Gate, you ask Mrs. Shauri. If she considers your case, you can get in. I came here. She said she'll come at 1:30. I sat there. She came. People said, she is Mrs. Shauri, she's coming. Again, I narrated my whole story. She was very kind and considerate. She asked about my details and said, no, we don't have any line for birthday babies like that. You are saying she's a sick child, so will you go in sick line? I don't know what is sick line, I just want to go in. I said, any line, madam. And she, near Rajan Mandir, it was not constructed at that time. She said, you stand here. I stood there. At 1:50, just beside me, like a line formed all of a sudden, with, neat people wearing good clothes, perfumes, all, like looking very rich, posh. And you can imagine my plight, madam. I got up at 2:30, and it was 2:30 in the afternoon.
12 hours struggling with the baby.
With the baby in the hot sun, my sari, my condition, I was almost looking like a maidservant. But I didn't bother about my looks. That's not important. I stood there. The miracle happened then. One small little baby playing there in the first line, she came to our line and her mother grabbed her and said, hey, we are in the first line. Don't go to that line. I don't know who that lady is. Looking very strange. Why do you go there? And I saw, oh, this is the first line. Very good. I don't know what gave me the strength, madam. Looking straight into Mrs. Shauri's eyes, I came from that sick line to first line. Right in front of her. I didn't ask her. I don't know, strangely she didn't say anything. And within 2 minutes they opened the gates. All these people ran, I ran along with them. And I was in that first line. I sat there. And I was trying to control my baby. Swami came. He was walking slowly and he was looking so peaceful, so pink in color, so beautiful smile on his face. Such a slow walk. He was going, visiting people, but like giving darshan to all people. Then he was walking slowly. He didn't stop. He didn't bless. Then I don't even know that I shouldn't call him. I said, Swami, please come. Swami, bless my daughter, I said. Very nice, Ma. Don't hold your child in the air. Put her in your lap. Very nice. Then he walked further, 2 more steps. I said, Swami, please come. It is her birthday, Swami. Then again Swami turned back and said, it's nice. I have told you, don't hold the baby in the air. I lifted my daughter up for him to bless him. It's nice, good. Santosham, chala santosham, he said. Again he walked further. I couldn't control anymore. I started crying and said, Swami, it is her first birthday, Swami. Please come, I said. By then, Swami was some 7 steps away from me. I don't know what he heard, madam. He just gave a jerk to his body and turned back. And when he turned back, it was not the Swami that was giving darshan to people. His face turned bluish, madam. And the hair, it stood still. And that lalityam, that delicacy is not there in the face. Something like gandru bolte in Telugu, I don't know how to explain, became stiff and all the muscles all swollen kind of look. With both the hands, you know, he came straight to me. I was frightened a little looking at Swami. I couldn't stare at him. So I bent my eyes down and I was still holding the baby in the air. Then with both the hands, Swami blessed my daughter. And he put his hands even on me. Feet were right in front of me, but I couldn't touch because I was holding the baby. And people around me, they could get Swami's charans first. The volunteers came and they separated and Swami walked away. That is how so innocently we came. And Swami blessed my daughter. That is another rebirth to my daughter, madam. From that day to this day, she was never hospitalized.
Oh, Swami's grace, thank God. And she went on to become a student of his university.
She is an ardent devotee of Swami. Compared to all the family members, she loves Swami to the core. She considers him as her mother, real mother.
Mm-hmm.
I am just a form of human form. But she keeps on composing songs on him. She keeps on
very
writing.
Creative she is.
Highly creative, and it's all Swami's blessings. And she loves to stay here. She doesn't want me to leave Patti, but I have duty and all, no?
So she's now pursuing her MBA.
Yes, ma'am.
You also have a wonderful son who is quite an overachiever, I must say.
Yes, ma'am. That is another
the diamond
incident.
That you asked Baba to find a goal setting for.
Yes, ma'am. Baba gave him, after he completed his 10th, I joined him here. I think for the past 14 years, he is pursuing his studies here. And four times we were invited by the trust people, like gold medal functions.
He's got four gold medals from Baba?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, for BSc, MSc?
M.Tech. All-rounder, madam.
Oh, wow.
And
you are one proud mother.
Yeah, I feel really proud of him, madam. And that's all benign blessings of Swami, nothing else. And this son of mine, when he was in second year BSc, there was another incident which was an eye-opener for me. Like I worked in Madhya Pradesh, Ujjain, ma'am. I was there at that time and he used to be here.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in BSc second year, it seems Swami called him once, like in Darshan only.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped at my son and said, you and this fellow, sitting next to him, I want to send both of you abroad. You ring up to your parents and find out their feeling, or just inform whatever, something he said. Then my son, in the morning Darshan, he said, my son rang up. Then the first doubt I had, I entertained in my mind, the core of my heart was, Swami wants to send him now, second year BSc.
Mm.
What will he do there? And according to Indian standards, what will be his degree? Intermediate only.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't express, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm nobody to challenge Swami's words. So superficially I said, hearty congratulations, it's very nice. Good, go ahead and you inform Papa also. Then he rang up to my husband also. He was in his office. The first thought occurred to my husband was, BSc? What kind of a job is he going to get there? I don't know. But Swami's wish.
Hmm.
My husband loves Swami a lot. So he said, okay, congratulations, Srikant. Come on, go ahead. And night 10 o'clock when he came home, I didn't have the guts to discuss Swami's decision, neither my husband. We just congratulated each other. I said, okay, congrats, your son is going abroad. Yeah, I know. It's all Swami's grace, he said. And 10:30 we slept, madam. We didn't even wake up. And nobody shared our internal thoughts with the other person. But here Swami in the early morning darshan, those days it used to be 5:45.
Mm.
Swami came to my son and to that boy and said, showing that boy, Swami said, his parents okayed. But his parents only, and Swami walked away. And my son got a doubt. Something went wrong somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he rang up after Darshan immediately. Now you tell me the truth. What did you decide? What did you discuss? You congratulated me. That was okay. Mm-hmm. But that is all superficial. You had some different thoughts about Swami's wish. What did you say? Then we opened up. Then later on my son didn't go abroad, of course. But my wish and my husband's wish both are fulfilled. Now he is PhD, according to Indian standards. He's just going to complete. And he is associate professor in Swami's university itself.
In the Department of
Mathematics and Computer Sciences. He's still working there. And I'm really happy that I'm blessed with him, a son like him.
Srikant Khanna,
ma'am.
You're one very fortunate mother to have such two beautiful, blessed children.
I am, really.
Now, you've had such a long association with Baba and you've seen his glory and grace from close quarter.
No, I just want to, sorry to intervene.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to say something regarding this incident.
Yeah.
That very day, what I felt was, it's okay, my son didn't go abroad, my son didn't study there, that never mattered for us. But that day what I felt was, Ujjain is not far away from Puttaparthi. And I am not very far away from Swami. What I thought here, Swami disclosed there.
Mm.
That means Swami is with me.
Mm.
Such a beautiful experience. Wonderful. So my confidence in life, it mounted up to that level, madam.
Mm.
You wouldn't believe, I used to walk in the corridors of my school as if, you know, I was a queen or somebody, like blessed by such a great Swami. Nobody knows my importance. It means it's not ego. It's the humility of being blessed by Swami. Like that humility gave me the confidence to teach in a state like Madhya Pradesh, madam. And that's another beautiful experience, of course, but that was an eye-opener to be like one with Swami always. Swami is with me. Swami knows my thoughts, my words, my deeds. Everything is known to me. Why should I fear? Like that, I used to feel so happy about Swami's memories.
Beautiful. And how did that impact your teaching practices and what you brought into the class, knowing what you did, that Swami is always with you, watching over you, he can, even as you're thinking thoughts, they're known to Bhagwan.
I know.
So with that sort of a confidence that you acquired and the faith that you built, how did that impact your teaching practices in the classroom?
Basically, to be very honest, that Bhagavat Tattvam, that Bhagwan, God, these things are of course there. I am no one to comment on that. The whole nature, the whole world, it's controlled by God or the divine personalities. But what I loved in Swami is, I love him as a teacher. Whenever I came for these functions, madam, these gold medal functions, Swami's discourse used to attract me a lot. A lot means a lot. I used to remember each and every word, each and everything he quoted. And I used to go with a rejuvenated strength to teach my children. A gush of words Swami used to use. And Swami, you know, theatrical tricks. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can talk, what not, he can write. And I used to incorporate all those techniques in my teaching. Whenever it was story time for children, I used to read stories from Chinnakatha for them. Like narrate, not read of course. Because they may allow, they may not allow if you say it is from Satya Sai. Because I am in Kendri Vidyalaya. India being a secular state, you cannot specify. I just used to, children used to love those stories. And once or twice I retold, had rewritten them into drama skits, got them enacted. And I want to imitate Swami. So, and what is the best place for me to imitate Swami? My classroom.
Hmm.
So once I get into my classroom, I forget myself, madam. I teach in such a way that sometimes I myself doubt, is it me, Vijay Rajeshwari, talking to them? Or is it some force making me talk? My children enjoy my lesson, I believe, because still I get some emails, calls. They remember way back some 1980s what I taught, they tell me, 1990s what I taught, which word I taught. The other day also some girl said, madam, tangled, the way you explained the word, madam, we really loved it. You disturbed all your hair and showed us how it is tangled and how it is not straight. Something and all means I there, once I enter the classroom, I sing, I dance,
all
I make
techniques.
I make the children do.
Uh-huh.
They enjoy my class and I enjoy my teaching because I follow Swami.
Beautiful.
And the lessons also I teach in that manner. Like I should also talk like Swami. There shouldn't be any break in my speech. And so the thread of thoughts, they go on coming on the spot. And all of a sudden it strikes my mind like, is it me talking? No, it's not me. Some force is allowing me to talk. That is how I think Swami helped me in my teaching also.
Role modeling of the universal teacher, so you can't go wrong.
Ah, that's what I
You're using all his teaching techniques.
I know.
Very nice.
I still feel like I'm a very blessed person. Be a teacher. Swami likes teachers.
Very much so.
That's what.
Because they have the ability to impact change on society most effectively among other professions.
Yes,
so
with the, yes.
Swami has the highest regard for educators and you're in that profession.
I know. With Swami's blessings only, even in a state like Madhya Pradesh, madam, for 10 consecutive years, I used to get distinctions, madam. 50% of my class used to get distinctions in English. And I never took the credit. I always told Swami, it's all because of you. I really feel happy to be a teacher.
Beautiful. So nice to hear from such a committed teacher. Now, your commitment, of course, is very deep. And of your generation and mine to the mission is different. In your opinion, do you have any concerns about the same buy-in from the younger generation, because now Bhagwan is not in the form? Do you foresee your children, your grandchildren having the same commitment to the Sai mission that you have had?
Ma'am, it all depends on the upbringing. Now, Swami is not there, it is the physical form, no? Even Venkateshwar Swami is not there.
In the physical form.
People throng there.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of people.
Every day.
They go to Tirupati. Shirdi Sai is not there.
Mm.
But you know the crowd there. So Swami is not there, it's just a feeling, madam. Just like you can narrate about Venkateshwar Swami, you can narrate about Shirdi Sai, you can narrate about Swami. And it is the impact of your teaching, it is the impact of your upbringing. The values that are incorporated into teaching and into a family system, that decides what kind of a child is going to be. The child is going to be a follower of Swami. The child is going to be a follower of a great personality. It all depends on how you imbibe it, inject the spirit. That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You keep on talking about that. Like Prahlada, how did he become Narayana? Means, of course, he is blessed.
But sometimes, isn't it a struggle between nature and nurturing? Some people's nature is not inclined towards spirituality. So no matter how hard as a parent, as an educator, you try to nurture them along the path of a higher purpose, they don't seem to fit into the groove.
I know, madam. Even I have so many experiences as a teacher.
Mm.
My own students, they fail to listen to their parents. Mm. They go astray.
Yes.
I know, but the thing is, predestination of life is the prime purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is destined will definitely take place. Even God will not change it.
I see.
So that's what I believe, madam. However much you teach, if it is predestined that he'll become somebody, it will definitely happen, madam. But our teachings, to some extent, they are going to mold a child. Maybe the child feels too much under control. And once the child becomes an individual, earning on his own or living a free life, they may go astray. There is every possibility because of the electronic media nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
We as teachers are also facing so many problems, madam. But now I feel the country is realizing. Nowadays the movies, few movies are like family-oriented, value-oriented movies are coming. When I was a child, I used to enjoy all kind of very good movies, ma'am. But of late, the movies are very bad and children are getting spoiled and they are already spoiled. But if the society realizes its importance, if the society stops giving bad examples, I think 50% of the children may rectify themselves. We have, right from class 3, we have problems, madam.
Discipline problems?
Yes, ma'am.
That early, huh?
Mm, that early. Yeah. It all depends on how you bring up.
Yeah, upbringing is very important.
Yeah, that's very important.
And Swami has already shown us the way
path.
The path and a perfect model in the Satya education system,
yes,
which we can easily emulate, because we are seeing the outcome. The results are phenomenal every year, whether it's academic excellence or character building. The Sai education system speaks for itself, the
yes,
results.
Such universities should be more in number.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, there is a development in our system, like values are being incorporated.
That's a very positive
recently,
development.
Very recently. But I have been teaching, for each lesson I used to tell them, this is the value in the lesson, this is the value in the lesson. If education system is streamlined, and if the media redecides a strategy, and if the government intervenes, if the government is really interested, I think we can bring a positive change in the minds of children.
On that positive note, I thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you, ma'am. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
And I feel thankful to you and Swami for giving me this opportunity, madam. I had never dreamt in my life that I would speak on Swami like this, ma'am.
And everything in Radio Sai is about Swami, so he's the only one we are all grateful to.
I have just one more sentence
please
to say.
Please, go ahead. Yes.
Luckily, because of my son, I had an opportunity to have Swami's interview. There at Sai Sannidhi interview.
Yes.
And there I uttered a sentence to Swami. I said, you have done so much to the world, Swami. After my retirement, I want to come here and serve in your institution. That's my desire, I said. Swami said, okay, do it, he said. So now I'm waiting for that day, madam. When I'm retired, I'll come back.
How many more years to go?
2 more years to go.
So the countdown has begun.
Begun already.
And he told you, so go ahead and do what's that's stopping right. you.
Yes. So I'm waiting for that day. If I get an opportunity, like after coming here, I don't know whether they'll take me into the stream. But Swami said, you can go ahead. I believe him. So I want to come back. I want to serve however much I can. If I'm fit and fiddle, I want to go ahead, madam. That's my desire.
He picks the instruments and he places them where he wants, and I'm sure he'll do that with you as with millions who want to come and serve him somewhere or the other.
I know.
All the best and thank you very much.
Thank you, Swami.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sai Ram and welcome back, dear listeners. Let me at the outset tell you that we apologize deeply for the delay in starting this interview with Mrs. Vijaya Rajeshwari. It was caused due to a technical glitch, which has now been corrected. We hope you enjoyed it despite the slight lag in starting it. And you can catch the full conversation at any time from Thursday Live Archives page on our website, radiosai.org, or from our Facebook page, where we post the entire contents of Thursday Live within 24 hours. So please accept our sincere apologies for starting this interview after the first minute or so. And despite this glitch, I hope you will find it worth your while to send in your feedback. As always, we love to hear from you at our email ID, listener@radiosai.org. And now it's time for our feature presentation. That is part one of a three-part interview with Mr. Balaramachandran, an alumnus of the Sai University, and he is in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today, I have someone who has been immensely blessed to sing right in front of Bhagwan's physical presence for more than 5 years and has been guided and molded by him in so many ways over the years. Brother Balaramachandran from Chennai, endearingly called as BRC. Balaramachandran joined the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1994 for his bachelor's in commerce and then moved on to the Prashanthi Vem campus for his master's in financial management, which he completed in 1999. And after he left the portals of Baba's University, he joined the HDFC Bank in Chennai. And interestingly, 14 years later, he continues to work in the same organization, in the same bank, now of course as Deputy Vice President, Human Resources, Learning and Development. But most importantly, as I mentioned before, he is truly a gifted singer who has sung in the Divine Presence during all his student days and even after that too. Today, apart from being a part of the Prashanthi Bhajan Group, he is a regular member of the Sundaram Bhajan Group, Swami's Divine Abode in Chennai. In fact, today is Tamil New Year Day, April 14, 2013, and the Sundaram Bhajan Group from Tamil Nadu offered their music to Bhagwan for an hour this morning. And Balaramachandran is here with us now, just a couple of hours after this beautiful bhajan session in Sai Pugunth Hall. So welcome, Brother Balaramachandran, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, brother. Thank you so much.
So let me begin by today's session. How was it sitting in front of Bhagwan and performing, giving your offering on this Tamil New Year Day?
Beautiful experience as usual. Butterflies in the stomach as usual. So any number of times you sing in front of Swami, you sing again, it's again butterflies in the stomach, but a very delightful experience as usual. In fact, linking it to what we are doing currently, I was just thinking, brother, I think you have chosen a very apt title to this entire thing when you call it fleeting moments but lasting memories. I was just thinking that often in life we have those fleeting memories which don't give you lasting moments, but the moments of Bhagwan are very, very different. So you have the small moments which give you very lasting memories, and naturally in my mind's eye I relived a lot of those.
So as you sat there, did you really go back to your...
Yes, in fact, this morning I had went into the bhajan hall on the pretext of picking up the tabla and the harmonium, but the real purpose was to go back into the bhajan hall. And for a moment when I kneeled down, I was thinking that this is the place where so many beautiful episodes happened in my life in the divine presence of Swami. In fact, I came out, I went back again and to steal a glance at Hanuman, with whom I have a special association. So a lot of beautiful memories came flooding in as usual.
Yes, you mentioned about the Hanuman episode in an earlier conversation. Yeah. So maybe you should take us back to all those memories, as you mentioned, those lasting memories which have left indelible impressions in your heart.
If you permit, I'd like to actually begin with what happened when I joined the Vrindavan campus. One of the first few things which happened were, see, it's very nice to read about Swami when you speak about Swami's omnipresence, about his omniscience. It's very nice when you read it in a book, but when you directly get to experience it, it's a very, very different thing. I'm in the learning and development function now, and we always believe that real learning is always experiential. And I think Bhagwan does exactly that. He gives you those small experiences which really redefines life for you.
What probably would have taken you 10 years as a spiritual aspirant to get, that one experience probably will just make it happen.
Absolutely. It's just a download that he gives you, I think, in that one moment. And it's literally a download. Maybe if time permits and Swami wills it, so maybe in the course of this conversation, you've just triggered my mind one more thought, something which happened in Kulwanthal, where I've actually experienced this download, and I literally mean download. But before I get to that, in chronological order, I think I must first try and recount one of the first things which I experienced when I joined Vrindavan. Joining Swami's institution was a major aspiration for me, and finally, Swami's grace, I got into the Vrindavan campus. Now, along with me, there were a couple of people whom I knew earlier who had also joined. One of them was a classmate brother who had studied with me earlier in school, and he had joined Swami's university.
In Kerala?
Yeah, in Kerala, and then he joined along with me in Vrindavan campus. In fact, he was very reluctant to join Swami's university, but under parental pressure he had come and taken the exam. I know for a fact that purposely he had written the exams badly, with the hope that he would not pass. Normally people stand in front of our Ganesha praying for admission. He did exactly the opposite.
Oh my God.
But then Swami must have given clear instructions to Ganesha to totally ignore that prayer. So he ultimately did get the admission. And he joined Vrindavan campus. Now, very nice person, but on account of some company which is not particularly good, he had got into some of those bad habits which he was finding it very difficult to shake off. Now, one of those things was he used to smoke a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he joined the Vrindavan campus. I still remember that he was in a very rebellious mood naturally because his parents had put him into Swami's university. So in that rebellious mood, once what he did is, he, without anybody knowing, in inverted commas, he goes out to the campus, has a smoke and comes back.
Mm-hmm.
To top that up, later in the evening when I, along with he and one more boy, we were sitting together in the dining hall, which doubles up as a study room when you want to do discussion and studies. Particularly remember this very clearly, we were sitting, if you've seen the Vrindavan hostel, so Vrindavan hostel dining hall right next to Swami's altar, maybe within earshot, we were actually sitting there and then studying. Now, the course of this discussion that we were having, suddenly he said, you know what I did today? You keep saying your hostel is very disciplined. You say that there are a lot of controls here. You know what I did today? I went outside, I smoked and came back, and nobody knows. Now, we were really shocked.
You don't know how to react.
I don't know how to react. And what happened is immediately I think the three of us were seated, that brother plus two of us. I think I was the first to recover from the shock. I said, don't do this, because anybody may not find out, the warden also may not know, but then Swami would definitely know. I mean, there was some reason why I felt like saying that, and I said that. And interestingly, Swami was physically in Vrindavan at that time. Sai Kulwathal was being constructed in 94. Yeah. We had the blessing that Swami was there for that full semester, yeah. 6 months.
Yeah, the entire first semester.
Yeah, we were very blessed that way. So, Swami was physically there, and so I told him, Swami would definitely know. And in fact, I told him that it's a bad habit, why don't you give it up? But I still remember he said, in a very challenging tone, he said, okay, let Swami ask me to stop smoking, and I will stop smoking. It was a very strong reaction. And this happened. This got over. I think 2 or 3 days later, it so happened that, you know, darshan lines inside, we have those lines inside the hostel, first floor of the dining hall on the terrace. So we picked up lots. Now, interestingly, it happened that all three of us were in the same line. We did not know, the three people involved, the boy plus the other brother who was there plus me. Now, the lots got picked up. We went to Sai Ramesh Hall for bhajan. Bhajan got over. We went inside three.
Three session.
Yeah, three session.
The exclusive session of Bhagwan with the boys in Trey Vrindavan.
Yeah. So, that day what happened is, three session inside, we never noticed, we never realized that the three of us were in the front.
Okay.
So, it had so happened that we were different parts of the same line, but ultimately we had gotten into three and then we were together. As events showed, there was a very clear purpose, I think, why Swami did that. Now, what happened is, Swami came in as usual, he spoke to us, he spent a lot of time with us, maybe an hour or so. After that, we offer Aarti to Swami inside, we get that opportunity. So there was another brother who got the opportunity to offer Aarti to Swami that day. Now, whether you've seen this, Swami normally picks up the matchbox and himself lights the Aarti. Often he would say that, see, I'm not wasting a matchstick, only one I've used. And generally, he would give that matchbox back to this boy as a memento.
And you are prepared to move your Aarti from one hand to the other so that you're in time to take that, miss that, you know, to take the matchbox from Swami's hand. Yes.
But that day something very different happened. In fact, I had seen a lot of these sessions and generally Swami followed this tradition of giving it back to the same boy. But that day was different. I still remember this. So Swami took Aarti, lit the Aarti. He did not give the matchbox to this boy, though maybe the boy was on time. But then Swami had thought maybe out of box. So he had a different plan. He just turned around casually and then he looked towards my student brother. Remember the student brother who had smoked?
Yes.
Swami just looked at him. Swami smiled. I still remember Swami threw the box at him. This was maybe the next day. The next day or 2 days. I mean, not too much of a gap. Just threw the box at this matchbox at this boy and the boy caught hold of it. The moment the box landed in this boy's hand, face dressed with smiles, Swami looked at him and said, I've given you a matchbox, but don't smoke.
Oh my God.
I mean, you can imagine what would happen. Now, the three of us were seated in very important positions to see that happening. And the moment that happened, I looked at him, I looked at the other guy, we looked at each other. Only the three of us in Trey were not laughing. Everybody else, including the warden, was laughing because nobody knew that Swami wasn't joking. See, it's very nice to read in books, but then when you see it live and he challenged Swami.
I can imagine your chill would have gone down his spine.
And I came outside and I asked him, I said, what do you say now? You said you will stop smoking, Swami. And Swami, in as many words, says, I have given you a matchbox, but don't smoke. He used the words, don't smoke. And he couldn't answer. He couldn't answer, absolutely. I mean, of course, he was a changed person after that, needless to say. But Adi Shankara talks about aparokshanubhuti, the direct experience of truth. I mean, that is direct experience of truth. Those magic moments in your life which really define life for you.
I mean, that one experience, as we are saying, you know, you may undergo so many spiritual practices to get there, but Swami will give you just that one moment and, you know, he has telescoped within that moment probably 10, 15 years of your progression in the spiritual path.
And maybe quite appropriately, he used a matchbox to light that lamp in us.
The wisdom.
Absolutely.
The wisdom.
One thing also I take away from that or realize there is, Swami had a very clear agenda that day to maybe correct him or whatever, transform him or whatever. But the way Swami did that was again something which really impressed me. Because Swami did not let that boy. If Swami had pulled him up and told him you smoked and done all that, and Swami could have done that. We have heard of instances in the past where he creates photographs and shows people. So Swami could have done that. But maybe if Swami had done that, that boy, he would have been asked to go out of the university. But then Swami wanted him there. Swami wanted him to actually get that opportunity, to use the opportunity to transform himself. So the message went across very beautifully and nobody other than the people concerned realized it. So that was, I think, mind-blowing. I mean, literally speaking.
So what impact did it have on you?
First impact it had on me, two things. One is, I realized, we say, Tvameva Mata Cha Pita Tvameva. I realized Swami is a father who wants to correct you. But then I realized that somehow, because Swami is, I think, Shiva and Shakti, he wants to be that hard taskmaster father, but despite himself, he cannot be. Because I think the Shakti thing plays in, and so he very beautifully ensured that the father element sent the message, but the mother element ensured that the boy does not get hurt in any way, his academic career does not get hurt. So the message went across very clearly. And yes, it was a direct reconfirmation experience of Swami's omniscience. He knows everything.
I mean, you, on the spur of that moment, had told him, you know, maybe Warren will not know, but Swami
will know. Absolutely.
But I think the level of conviction you had at that time, probably after this incident, probably would have got doubled.
Absolutely. Because at that point of time, when I said that, I was parroting what I had learned. What my mother had told me, what my parents, father, mother had told me, what I had been taught right from childhood, what I'd read about Swami, but this is different. So yes, I had taken the leap of faith, and I think he was also eager to confirm it very quickly. So I think that was one major blessing. I think it was a blessing for the three of us. All three of us benefited in some way or the other. So that is the very first thing I experienced the moment I joined Vrindavan. I'd experienced Swami as father, but very quickly Swami put me through an experience where I could see him as the mother. Now, this happened again. There was one brother in my room. You know, with 10 or 12 boys in the room. There was this brother who used to get epileptic fits. So, in fact, one day it even happened that he was actually in the bathroom, and then he'd got fits, and then nobody realized, and then we actually had to bring him out and take care of him. So, this had happened. Now, he'd got fits on one particular day, but he had recovered during the day, and then he was felt strong enough to come for darshan and then come for tray session. And I still remember, I was very lucky. So I happened to be right in front of Swami's jula, and this brother was sitting next to me.
In three sessions.
Yeah. And this brother, incidentally, is from Kerala. Now, I'm from Kerala, but I know two languages. My mother tongue is Tamil, and then my ancestors are settled in Kerala. So I have the benefit of knowing both these languages, and maybe that was one reason why Swami had put me in front that day. Swami came for the three session, all smiles and very casually, sat on the jula, and then Swami bent down and almost whispered. Now, when he whispered, maybe the only two people who heard the whisper was me and the other brother who had got fits. So Swami told him in Tamil. In fact, I'll repeat verbatim what Swami said. Swami said, "Ungata marindu vanga kaas illana, Swami kitta solla kudada, Swami unakku panam kudukka maatena." Which literally means, if you don't have money to buy medicines, you should have told Swami, and Swami would have given him money to buy medicines. And I understood. I understood because I understand Tamil. And this boy was seeing stars because he understood nothing. He did not understand. It was very clear from his face. Now, I still remember when I went outside, I caught hold of him and said, "You call me a brother, when you call me a friend and all that, but you can't even tell me so much." He said, "You don't have money, you didn't buy medicines, and that's why you got fits." And he looked at me for a moment as though he was looking at Swami and said, "How did you become omniscient? I mean, how did you know all this?" I said that I didn't know all this. He said, "That's exactly what Swami said inside three." And then inside three premises, he confirmed to me that's exactly what had happened. Money had not come from home on time for some reason. He had to regularly have medicines to avoid these fits. He maybe felt shy to ask some of us, so he did not. And that's why he actually got fits. And Swami actually said that if you don't have money, you could have asked Swami, and Swami would have given you money. It was very beautiful. Very beautiful. See, I mean, they say that your brothers might forget you, but your mother will not. So, Swami's mother came out very, very, very clearly that day, and I think I was also very blessed because I saw it live. And look at the way he planned the entire thing also. So, he got me also, maybe in, I had a small part to play because I was the interpreter, translator.
Some really hair-raising experiences. And I think getting all these experiences in that first year of Bhagavan's stay, I think is so vital because, you know, once that faith strengthens, and after that, life actually becomes beautiful. I mean, the kind of experiences that you start getting, you know, the kind of convictions which get established, which becomes sort of a foundation for you to really enjoy the glory and enjoy the divinity, I think that is something absolutely beautiful. So, go on. Yeah.
Swami has blessed me with the opportunity to sing Suprabhatam in hostel. So, Suprabhatam also in Sundaram, we have the Nagar Sankirtan Suprabhatam on the first Sunday of every month there. So, whenever we sing the Suprabhatam, in fact, my brother sings along with me, the line we love the most is Shrutva Tavadbhuta Charitram Akanda Kirtim. I think having heard about your story, which is of infinite glory, I think it's infinite. We speak about it, it keeps coming and coming and coming. So each time we sing that line, we generally look at each other. So it's beautiful. I think these are some of the things which come back to your mind. You think, you run through your mind's eye all those beautiful episodes which you know, and then many more which you don't know, you keep hearing. You know Swami, you know he can do all this, but still he'll end up amazing you. I mean, so yeah. That is what it is.
That is his thing.
You know he can do everything, yes. But then he will still do that one thing which ends up amazing you.
Absolutely.
So this happened. Now, this is the Swami who is a father, who is a mother, who plays God. If you permit me, brother, I'd like to go into two or three beautiful, small episodes where we see Swami as a friend. Like, one thing I've seen is, Swami, I've heard Swami has said, or Swami says, that when he is with children, he is a child. When he is with women, he is a woman. When he is with men, he is a man. But alone, he is God. In fact, one thing I've experienced is that when you're with Swami, and when I, 1994 when I came in, now Swami is about 68, so it's a 68-year-old person and then a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid. But for one moment, I've never felt any kind of a generation gap. Today you talk of Gen X, Gen Y, and how the older generation finds difficult to deal with these people, but not even for one second have I felt a generation gap, and I think that's because when Swami is with children, he's a child.
Yes.
So two or three beautiful episodes which happened again in Vrindavan, first year, we saw a very different Swami, and who endears him to you, if you permit me to add two or three, very, very small, sweet experiences. I can remember one Swami sitting in three, he was in the Jula, and he was saying that, I have travelled by a lot of modes of transport, but I've never travelled by a train.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Hindi he asked, hum train mein kaisa travel karta hai? How do you travel by a train? And we don't know how to respond to that question. And most unexpectedly, Swami started mimicking the sound of a train by actually holding his, you know, hand in front of his mouth, just like a kid in India would do when he plays an engine. So Swami started doing chuk 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 chuk, and then actually was actually moving the jula, as though train was actually moving. What a beautiful episode. You know why that was important? You've seen God. Now, maybe if things like these had not happened, we would have been awestruck by him, but never been come close to him.
So I've never been able to actually relate to him. I mean, okay. And that is the whole purpose of God coming down, so that we can relate to him.
Absolutely. So that he can enjoy the bliss that he's. So it was very beautiful, and that was totally disarming. I mean, because he had created awe in your mind, and by doing the small thing, that awe was gone. And you, yeah, here was a Swami who could do everything, and here was a Swami who would play chuk 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 train with you. So I remember that was one. The other thing I still remember was that, of course, that, yeah, the next episode I'm going to tell you had a beautiful message also for me. This was the devotees from UK had come and presented a beautiful drama in Swami's presence. In fact, this drama was staged first in the Kalyana Mandapam in Vrindavan. This was not the current version of the Kalyana Mandapam that you see, which is now redone.
Yes.
The old version, where I think you would have seen this with, it's got a very small platform only where the marriages used to happen.
Yes.
It's not a stage as such, but a small kind of a raised platform made of wood. And then you would have the peoples. So that is where the drama happened. So since there was no pakka stage on that mandap, that small raised platform, we had the drama. So, after the drama, Swami had gone onto the stage, and all the entire cast, they gathered around Swami, like they would for the photographs. So, what happened is, when Swami came up onto the stage, there was place for him to come in. But after the entire cast had stood around Swami, there was no place for Swami to go out. And remember, there are no pakka steps to walk down. They were only in the sides, and the place was entirely blocked. Now, something very interesting happened after that, amazing happened after that. Swami just walked towards, so he's given the photographs, now he has to get down to the platform. How will he get down? The steps are blocked. So Swami just walked forward, one step, two step, three steps. He came to the edge of the wooden platform, and we were all wondering what he would do. The next moment, he did something unexpected. Now, remember, I'm talking about 1994. Swami physically 68 years old. Swami just jumps down from the platform. I mean, just with both legs down, he jumps down, literally jumps down, and I still remember the moment Swami jumps down, everybody, there was a sort of exclamation which came through everybody's mouth, and I still remember that look on Swami's face which I've never seen. Immediately Swami became very coy. Swami actually took the handkerchief and then put it in his mouth, because he was very amazed with what he had done, maybe shy of what he had done, and immediately he said, shoo, 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 because he didn't want the entire world outside to know about what he had done. Looking back at the event today, they say, Sada Sat Surupam Chidananda Kandam Jagat Sambhavastana Samhara Hetum Swabhakte Chaya Manusham Darshayantam Namamishwaram Sadgurum Sainatam. He is the existence, knowledge, bliss, who had absolutely no compulsion to take that leap and come down.
Yes.
To us. I think he leapt down. He actually, the avatar. So he just leapt down. So that, looking back, I think that was a beautiful moment. Extremely beautiful moment when Swami just jumped down from the stage. And I still know, a very beautiful moment which you can treasure. And a very different Swami that you saw. He felt very, very coy. He actually lifted his handkerchief and then closed his mouth.
It's like that really reminds me of that famous incident with the children in the Ooty school where Swami takes the tetra pack.
Okay.
He fills it to the brim of the tetra pack and then, you know, he puts that inflated tetra pack down and he stamps over it and that whole bursting noise and, you know, all the kids are excited. So, I mean, it is that all these instances as you narrate. No, it really brings down how really God came down to our level. It's like that IAS officer Swami says, and he comes down in the evening when he comes by, returns home, he takes the slate and he writes A, B, C, and you know, he plays monkey, donkey game with the grandson just to, you know, entertain the grandson and, you know, so that grandson can relate to him.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened, brother, because then, like I said, Swami had struck awe in your mind. See, it showed how big he is. But then he did this, so you suddenly could relate to Swami and you felt very, very comfortable. And especially for somebody like me, this is very important, because to give you a little bit of background, nobody ever in my family has ever stepped out of a hometown for any purpose. I was the first person. I was brought up in a joint family, the first grandchild, pampered, spoiled, and I had never stayed outside home for any reason. So I think I needed that thing to sustain on. Otherwise, I don't know, hostel, you can feel homesick, you can...
And that living with so many boys in the hostel, the first time if you're going out, it's very difficult.
And because of these things, what happened is, now if I look back this evening, I mean, I'll have to again go back home, but I'll go back home feeling homesick. So it's become the other way around. So I think these were some of the things which happened. And if I can add one more beautiful episode which happened there. All this happened, all this is packed into those first few months. Today's session again. You know, now you've seen this, brother. Normally what happens is that after darshan, Swami comes inside. And after Swami comes inside, then the boys start trooping in. Generally at that point of time, the teachers ensure that the boys go in orderly fashion, so they don't come in. So generally the boys go and sit in first, then the teachers come in, and then Swami comes in that sequence. But one day what happened is, the boys had trooped in. So we were all sitting, waiting for the teachers to come and then Swami to come. But that day, you know what happened? Swami came first.
Okay.
There was no teacher. There was absolutely no teacher. Swami just came off. And Swami came and then he looked at the entire audience. And then he asked, boys, where is your mother-in-law? I mean, here are a group of unmarried boys, all students. And then Swami is asking, where is your mother-in-law? Now, what answer would you give? So everybody just blankly stared at Swami. So it was a very serious question with a very serious expression on Swami's face. And suddenly, you know, the thing we see so many times. From a serious Swami's face, a small half-bud smile comes, then a slightly bigger smile, and then that full-bloomed smile comes out. And then, very mischievously, Swami says, mother-in-law means warden.
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know whether this happened.
Yes. I think there are occasions when Swami will always call the warden.
Now, this happened, and then we had a laugh of a life. Now, all this happens when Swami and the boys are there. And after that, Swami settled down, and then the teachers come in, the warden comes in. I think Sri Narasimhamurthy was the warden at that point of time. And something very interesting happened. There was a sequel to this which was most unexpected. When Narasimhamurthy sir came inside, the moment he came inside, Swami looked at Narasimhamurthy and said, what is this, Narasimhamurthy? Boys are calling you mother-in-law. He totally turned the thing around us. The tables were totally turned and I remember we had a big roar again and Mr. Narasimhamurthy was wondering what had actually happened. But looking back, in fact, when I later ruminated on this incident, Swami has, I think, told us a lot of times that he is the real Purusha. And we are all Prakriti, nature.
Yes.
So maybe we were all the daughters and then the person taking care of us is logically the mother-in-law. So I think to me, the takeaway from that was, I think, a reminder for the fact that he was the Purusha and we were all Prakriti. We were all nature. We are all his manifestations, his reflections. So again, a very beautiful episode which happened. There were three things where Swami had struck awe. But after that, those three things happened.
You became comfortable to develop a relationship with Bhagavan.
Very, very comfortable with Swami. That way as a person. So that was something very beautiful which happened.
So very important in those formative years of you joining a college.
Yes. And then later on what happened is that after this it set in. Now, in fact, when I was actually thinking about what I would speak when I get this opportunity, when I actually jotted down, I realized that there was a pattern. So initially Swami had struck awe and we started taking him seriously. We started taking him too seriously, in fact. And then he had given the dose of two or three nice episodes where he felt very comfortable with him. And then he started getting to work.
First the faith came.
Yes.
At the same time, you should not be too much in awe of the faith that, you know, you don't strike a relationship with him.
Yes.
at a personal level. So he really built the ground for that.
Absolutely. So he sold the product first, and then he established the connectivity, and then he started getting into work by sending those messages. So those messages started coming in. In fact, I remember, if we can get onto that, about those little things which happened. In fact, one specific thing I remember which happened in Vrindavan, a very casual conversation, Swami, again, Trey Vrindavan, Swami was speaking to us. And then Swami taught a concept which to my mind is a Vedantic concept, but in a very, very simple form. A guest speaker had come and had spoken about the wonderful projects which Swami had done. So he had spoken about the educational institution, he had spoken about the hospital, the water project had not started at that point in time. So he had spoken about all this. And after the person spoke and sat down, Swami started speaking. Swami said that, see, everybody is saying that Swami has done so much. They are saying that Swami started a school, Swami started a free college, Swami started a free hospital. But how can Swami do all this? And then Swami showed a small hand and said, how can Swami do all this? There's nothing in Swami's hand. See, there's nothing in Swami's hand. And then there was a sudden change of expression in Swami's face. In a very grave, serious manner, he looked at us and said, there's nothing in Swami's hand, but boys, remember, this nothing is everything, and everything is nothing. And then he rested his case. Now you look back at it, he said there's nothing, what you think of as nothing in Swami's hand is actually this everything, this entire cosmos that you see. And this everything, the what you think, so, Swami talks of Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. I think that is, what could be a more beautiful way to teach a boy who's 18, 19, 20 years old. Now that's a Vedantic concept. He said there's nothing is everything and everything is nothing. What you think of as everything, like Swami says, properties are not proper ties. I mean, what you really think of as yours are not really yours. So they actually tantamount to nothing. And what you actually don't realize, what you don't see, what you don't perceive normally, is actually this everything. Beautiful moment.
There are 2-3 thoughts that come to my mind, even as you narrate this. The occasions when Bhagwan has said that God pretends that he doesn't know anything, but he knows everything.
Yes.
But man knows nothing, but he pretends as if he knows everything. You know, we find out one little thing about rocket science. We find out about one little star, that okay, that star has won, say, a moon. And you know, we're so excited about it as if we've discovered so much. And it's still a sand in the whole scheme of the ocean. It's nothing.
Absolutely, brother. So that's what I think, well said. In fact, I've heard exactly this from, again, in Trey session, I think I remember Swami saying this. Swami said exactly this.
Let me just share this. It comes to my mind, you know, even as you said, nothing and everything. You know, this is a moment in Kodaikanal. I mean, this is your interview, but still it just comes to my mind. And I'll say it very quickly. You know, Swami came out of the first floor of Sai Shwadi where Bhagwan was staying, and one afternoon it was only the session, only with the boys, the VIPs come to the ground floor. So Swami came out, Swami sat on the chair, and you know, he was in a great mood, quote unquote, that day. And he was just doing this, you know. He was just opening his palm and he was closing it, you know, straight, 90 degrees to the ground. And he was opening and closing, open and closing. And I said, what do you see? I said, nothing. You know, we are not seeing anything, actually. I said, no, what do you see? Nothing, Swami, nothing. And then, as you noticed, I very clearly remember this. I saw a gem, actually. A huge diamond, actually. Swami is keeping it perpendicular to the ground, so it can't, it just not stay like that. So I saw that, and then Swami closed his hand. No, you can't close your hand, because it's like a huge thing.
Okay.
It has to disappear for him to actually close his fist. And he opened, and it was there. And he closed, and it was not there. I mean, that scene is so...
And the gem is defying gravity.
Yeah, the gem is defying... And it's so clear in my mind, whenever I think about those, you know, Swami saying nothing and everything. You know, Swami kept on doing that for almost 5-10 minutes. And you know, you don't know when Bhagwan was opening his hand, when it would appear and when it would not. Because sometimes it would appear, sometimes it would not. And in the end, Swami revealed, Swami said, that is Gometakam. It's a stone called Gometakam. And Swami said, if you have this, you will never ever fall ill.
Oh,
that is the Lord. That's a huge topic by itself. We cannot go through it. Anyway, but even as you said, you know, as you said, there's nothing and everything, you know, that just came to my mind. Yeah, brother, go on.
No, no, beautiful. I mean, I'm glad you shared this. So there's something which I'm adding to my list of memories. No, beautiful. I mean, I think Swami, so this is exactly what he did. He said this, nothing is actually everything, and everything is actually nothing. So that was, I think, a Vedantic concept taught so simply. I think.
I mean, you know, this such Vedantic concept, you have such a scene in your mind, you can never ever forget.
Absolutely, it's clear.
That's the whole advantage of having an avatar.
I mean, crystal clear. In fact, I'm going to jump chronology slightly because here was one more beautiful message. Of course, in hindsight, I realized it was a great moment of interaction, a great truth revealed, and I did not realize at that point, but looking back, I can see that now, or I think I can see that. This happened not in Vrindavan, in fact, it happened later when I was in Parthi doing my MFM first year. Brother, you would remember that there was this serial which was made on Swami's life, Shirdi Sai Parthi Sai. So, MFM first year, the Muhurtam shot, if you remember, happened in Gokulam. Yes. Bhajan group, the advantage is you would be there everywhere.
Yes.
So, the Muhurtam shot happened. After the shooting, a lot of the shooting happened in Sai Purnachandra, if you remember. I remember one day, Swami just called for the MBA first year and MFM first year boys. And I was in MFM first year at that point in time. And he wanted all of them. So Darshan had started. He'd given Darshan. And after that, he'd called the MBA MFM first year boys inside Purnachandra. And there was a shooting was going on. This was the scene of the Mount Kailas and where Shiva and Parvati are doing the Tandava dance. And this episode of Bharadwaja coming there and he waiting, and that episode was being shot. So the dance scene was being shot. So there was a person dressed like Shiva, looking exactly like Shiva. And there was a Parvati. And then was the real Shiva Swami standing along with us. So still remember, Swami wanted to show us a shooting. But you know, typical shooting, they keep saying cut, cut, cut. And Swami is feeling very impatient. He has brought us here to show the shooting. But there was just 2 seconds and they were cutting it off. And he even remarked, saying that they're not allowing them to dance only and I want to show you the shooting. Something very interesting happened. Somewhere in between, the person who acted as Shiva, he just walked towards Swami. So he was also, I think, waiting for an opportunity to interact with Swami. He just came towards Swami and Swami was standing, and I remember standing just behind Swami. And I saw a scene which was very, very unique. Here was a person dressed exactly like Shiva and looking like Shiva. He knelt down before Swami and then he was actually crying. He was actually, there were tears of joy or sorrow or whatever, but they were tears. And then Swami was comforting him and then he got up and he went away. Now, after this episode happened, it was a very different scene where a Shiva kind of dressed person was at Swami's feet and then crying. The moment this gentleman went away, Swami turned towards us and Swami made a remark. Swami said, "Chusyava, Shivude edustunadu, Swami dagarochi." Did you see Shiva himself comes and cries to Swami? Of course, all of us laughed. There was one thing we were very good at. I mean, we laugh when this episode happened. It was a very trivial incident at that point of time. But recently, brother, I was reading some of the blogs put in by one of our brothers where he talked about the Tripura Rahasya. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about this, where the long and short of it is that the three creators had a major challenge to solve and they went to Tripura Devi, and Tripura Devi took them to the one who is the Lord of Lords. And ultimately, I believe Swami revealed this and Swami said, "You know who the Lord of Lords is? It was these Satya Sai form." Now looking back, when I read that, brother, for a few minutes I couldn't speak, because now I realized that what was enacted that day was a reenactment of Tripura Rahasya. Because if you see, the creators had gone to the Lord of Lords for a solution to a problem. And here Swami said, "Chusyava, Shivude edustunadu, Swami dagarochi." So Shiva had a problem and he was crying before the Lord of Lords. We were right behind the Lord of Lords. I mean, now if you see, that was a beautiful message. I mean, sometimes the message comes instantly, sometimes the message comes later.
I remember the Shivratri occasions when Bhagwan would give a discourse before the start of the Akhand Bhajan and again at the conclusion of the Akhand Bhajan, I mean, Swami would give another discourse. Actually, the Bhajan was sandwiched between two discourses, two beautiful discourses. That's how most of the Shivratri Akhand Bhajan sessions used to happen. And I remember when I was studying, I think sometime in the 90s, one Shivratri discourse at the conclusion of the Bhajan session, Swami started talking about the three trinity. The Swami are talking about the Parabrahma, God, and who has the Trinity, who handle different portfolios. And then he went on to say how the God also has his own administration, where there are a lot of portfolios distributed among so many other gods and demigods. And that's how the whole scheme of things runs.
Yes, and that day he revealed that secret to us. Now looking back, that was a great moment of revelation.
There is nothing like a joke.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the Lord.
Yes.
We started with that one incident, you know, where Swami told him, "Don't smoke." I mean, everyone laughed. But it was, you know, how serious that was, actually. I mean, there's nothing like a joke. There's nothing like a lighter moment. I mean, a moment of no significance or little significance when it comes to the avatar.
So there was a lot of lords, and this was a long time before. It was much later when I started reading, when I was not exposed to this concept of an Adipurusha, the cosmic lord, who is the source of all avatars. So sometimes I feel when we say avatar in my, when I call Swami an avatar, sometimes I feel, am I pulling Swami a step down?
He's a Parabrahma, you don't know what it is.
So yeah, with Swami you can only say that he is this also. I mean, you can never say that he is this. I think it's difficult to define. Yato vacho nivartanti aprapya manasasah. But so it is a beautiful moment of revelation. So those are two episodes. So he had shown what he is. He had struck awe in his mind, and then he had made us feel comfortable, and then the messages started so beautifully flowing in.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. You just heard part one of this three-part conversation with Mr. Bala Ramachandran, an alumnus of the Sri Sathya Sai University. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have anything to say about this conversation, just walk over to your computer right now and email us your feedback, please. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. And please don't forget, you can catch part 2 and part 3 of the same conversation right here on Morning Glory over the next two Thursdays. Now, before I hand you over to the host of the next segment, I would like to take a moment and offer my hosting efforts at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. I am ever beholden to him for this opportunity to be a part of his radio station, God's very own station. I now hand you over to my colleague Raghu as he walks you through the next segment of today's program. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, stay inspired, and do whatever it takes to be positive. Sai Ram.